Now you have the reaction here of the prophet. And I could only wish that I could do justice to the remainder of this little book and of this chapter here. I know that I'm totally inadequate to present it as it should be presented to you. This is one of the great passages of the Word of God. I wish that somehow or another I could convey to your heart today something of the grandeur and the glory that you have in this section here. Now, let me read it all first and then come back. Verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now listen to this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he'll make me walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. This man now gives us his own personal experience here at the end. He opened, by the way, with his own personal experience. Now we have here the position of the prophet. And he tells about his own physical reaction to all of this. Did you ever have that sinking feeling in the pit of your tummy when some crisis faces you, or you come to some place in life where there is a great emergency? Well, that was the experience of this man. He says, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. And have you been so frightened that you could not speak audibly? I'm sure most of us have had an experience like that. I had that kind of an experience as a young man. I was going to see a young lady, and apparently some peeping Tom after the girl next door had a young man that was keeping company with her. And after we would leave, apparently this peeping Tom found a place where he could get on the porch and he could look into both bedrooms on both sides where these girls, and they were sisters in both places, two girls in both places. And he apparently had been doing that for some time. And this night, they thought he passed by the window next door. And so they called where I was, and I very foolishly, the girl brought me her father's pistol, and I walked to the alley in the back. I should have stayed out of that backyard. But there was a big high fence there, and I was walking back, and I was getting ready to tell them there was no use being afraid, wasn't anybody there, and all of a sudden, a form appeared right above me on that fence. That fella could have jumped down on me, but he was so frightened at seeing me, he didn't budge, and I didn't either. I tried to raise the gun to shoot, and I thank God I was not able to do it. I was so frightened. And I tried to talk, and I couldn't say anything. And the girl called her father and said, he's choking Vernon out there. And he wasn't choking me. I was scared to death. I just couldn't open my voice. And instead of being a hero like I intended to be that evening, I turned out to be a very sorry one. And the fellow, whoever he was, the peeping Tom, dropped down on the other side and started running. And I put the gun on the fence. I couldn't hold it steady, and I shot at him twice. But he was perfectly safe. I don't think I got, in fact, in his neighborhood at all. But the important thing is that I use that to let you know that I know what it is to be frightened, friends. and the voice to quiver. And then he says, rottenness entered into my bones. That means he couldn't stand up. I had to hold on to something. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. In other words, he saw that God was going to move in judgment. And he knew that it would mean hard and difficult times. And he said, regardless of what happens, he says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, there'll be no fruit in the vines, there'll be no grapes, there'll be nothing. Now you have the reaction here of the prophet. And I could only wish that I could do justice to the remainder of this little book. And of this chapter here, I know that I'm totally inadequate to present it as it should be presented to you. This is one of the great passages of the Word of God. I wish that somehow or another I could convey to your heart today something of the grandeur and the glory that you have in this section here. Now, let me read it all first and then come back. Verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now listen to this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he'll make me walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. This man now gives us his own personal experience here at the end. He opened, by the way, with his own personal experience. Now, we have here the position of the prophet. And he tells about his own physical reaction to all of this. Did you ever have that sinking feeling in the pit of your tummy when some crisis faces you, or you come to some place in life where there is a great emergency? Well, that was the experience of this man. He says, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. And have you been so frightened that you could not speak audibly? I'm sure most of us have had an experience like that. I had that kind of an experience as a young man. I was going to see a young lady, and apparently some peeping Tom after the girl next door had a young man that was keeping company with her. And after we would leave, apparently this peeping Tom found a place where he could get on the porch and he could look into both bedrooms on both sides where these girls, and they were sisters in both places, two girls in both places. And he apparently had been doing that for some time. And this night, well, they thought he passed by the window next door. And so they called where I was. And I very foolishly, the girl brought me her father's pistol, and I walked to the alley in the back. I should have stayed out of that backyard. But there was a big high fence there. And I was walking back, and I was getting ready to tell them there was no use being afraid. Wasn't anybody there. And all of a sudden, a form appeared right above me on that fence. That fella could have jumped down on me, but he was so frightened at seeing me, he didn't budge. And I didn't either. I tried to raise the gun to shoot, and I thank God I was not able to do it. I was so frightened. And I tried to talk, and I couldn't say anything. And the girl called her father and said, he's choking Vernon out there. And he wasn't choking me. I was scared to death. I just couldn't open my voice. And instead of being a hero like I intended to be that evening, I turned out to be a very sorry one. And the fellow, whoever he was, the peep had thought, dropped down on the other side and started running. And I put the gun on the fence. I couldn't hold it steady, and I shot at him twice, but he was perfectly safe. I don't think I got, in fact, in his neighborhood at all. But the important thing is that I use that to let you know that I know what it is to be frightened, friends, and the voice to quiver. And then he says, rottenness entered into my bones. That means he couldn't stand up. I had to hold on to something. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. In other words, he saw that God was going to move in judgment. And he knew that it would mean hard and difficult times. And he said, regardless of what happens, he says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, there'll be no fruit in the vines, there'll be no grapes, there'll be nothing. Now, I want you to see this because this is so important for us to see, friends, especially in these days in which we live and so much is being promised today. He said, in spite of all that, I will rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. I get literature. I've thrown something here in the wastebasket today. And it is a magazine that comes from a so-called Christian work that tells about all the things that you can get through prayer, that God will make you prosperous. He'll give you health. He'll give you everything. My friend, may I say to you, God is not a glorified Santa Claus. Our God today is moving in a very definite way. And if you want the answer to your problems, and the answer is here, and that answer, by the way, is just simply this, God is the answer to our problem. This man came to God at the beginning, and he says, why are you doing certain things? Why are you permitting me to see evil? Why don't you move? And then he brought him to the watchtower. And he let him see what he was doing. And now this man says, I'm going to walk by faith with God. He's the answer to your problem today. I don't know who you are or what your problem is, but my friend, God is the answer. You can have faith and confidence in him, and God has a purpose in your life. Every one of you. God intends to carry through that. You can trust Christ today. And when you trust him, he'll begin to work in you. And he wants to conform you to his image. It's God's intention to make you like Christ. As Paul says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, regardless of the big words there, God's eternal purpose with you is to make you like Jesus Christ. And he says again in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. My friend, God has a purpose for you. I don't care who you are. And for anybody to say that somebody else has a greater purpose in life than you have is entirely wrong. You are as important in God's plan and purpose today as any individual that's ever lived on this earth or ever will live on this earth. He wants to make you like Christ. And again in 1 Corinthians 15:47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's the Lord Jesus. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne also the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We are down here in these human bodies that have been taken actually out of the dirt. And God has made us human beings. But that's not his final purpose. We are earthy. He wants us to be heavenly, and that is his goal for us. Suppose that you had lived in the days of Michelangelo and you lived next door to him. One day you visited his studio, and there was a rough piece of stone. It was dirty, and it was polluted because it had come out of a dark and damp place, out of the quarry. And it was a hard piece of marble. It was crude, hard, unyielding, cold, and unlovely, and unsightly. And you come back in 6 months, and what has happened? Well, there's a statue of David. There's the Archangel Michael. May I say to you, today God has a purpose for you and me today. We are earthy, but he has a heavenly purpose. You see, the ideal of the artist, that's the Holy Spirit to conform us. And the chisel is the discipline of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We've seen that. And the hammer is the word of God. And we can say today with a psalmist in Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, my friend, God is the answer to your questions. God is the answer to your problem. And therefore, I don't care who you are or where you are today, you can rejoice in him, and you can rejoice in his salvation and say with this man who was such a pessimist at the beginning, he now says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The book opens in gloom. It closes in glory. It opens with a question mark. It closes with a mighty exclamation point. And it ends with this wonderful song. May you and I be encouraged today by the Word of God. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.